Happy anniversary.
What?
Yeah, it's our anniversary.
That's right. We have been doing this show for a year now.
It's been a year. Can you believe it? Where has the time gone?
It is simultaneously the shortest and longest year of my life.
Seriously, I feel the exact same way. I was pregnant when we started this. And
And now
now,
your kid's like five.
yeah, he is. Yeah, he's actually in college now.
I legitimately forgot that you were pregnant when we started this.
Yeah, remember I was pregnant and like I got so pregnant. I mean, I know you can't get more pregnant, but I got so pregnant that I couldn't breathe when we would record and I'd just be huffing the entire time. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, we had to plug her in like Big Pun.
Yes. Oh man, yeah. Speaking of 1 year anniversary, we missed our episode last week. I guess we should say sorry to our listeners.
And sorry to our listeners and sorry to our guests.
Yes.
We had not one but two guests last week. We talked about Amy Coney Barrett, People of Praise, and fringe Christian organizations. One of our guests actually went to a high school that was run by People of Praise. Amy Coney Barrett was on the board, and one of our guests was formerly middle management of a cult.
He worked his way up to middle management. Yeah, sorry, we shouldn't have left you.
Yeah,
Thought a beat
but
to
we had
step
some
two.
technical issues. I
Yeah.
mean, we fired our engineer.
We did. That's me. I'm fired. So I don't know who's gonna edit this episode.
We might just let this shit go out raw.
Yeah, I don't know if I can do that. So yeah, so we're sorry about that. Sorry to our guests, but it has been a year, and I think we've gotten pretty good at it. What do you think?
I enjoy the show. I think we've definitely gotten into a rhythm. You know what we should do?
What?
We should release the lost tapes.
The what are the lost tapes?
Do you remember we did a couple episodes of the show before we officially premiered it?
Yes, I remember that, and I was like, because I knew like how like podcasts and shows and whatnot get their get up and running is they just keep recording a bunch of episodes that they don't release, and it's just them practicing. And I remember I told you that, but I think it didn't register with you, and you put those episodes online, and I was like, Jason, what? No, those are just practice. Don't put them online. Then you had to take them down.
Yeah, it's like you saw that band at Wetlands before the first album came out.
Before they were cool.
Yeah.
Except, are we cool? I don't know.
We are decidedly not, but we are entertaining, and that's why you're here.
Yes. So, thank you.
Thank you, day ones.
Yes.
And day twos and threes. We love all our friends equally.
Yes, we do. Tell your other friends about us so we can have more friends.
Maybe we could be friends. Do this every weekend.
Yeah, oh, okay.
So welcome back, guys.
Welcome back.
So I guess we're gonna dive right in. We watched the debates last night.
We did.
Both of us all the way through.
I wanted to stop halfway through. I was like, this is not just because like I can't take Trump anymore. I can't listen to his voice. I can't watch him. I can't those shots where they cut away to the side of him and he's like leaning forward and like using his belly to like prop himself up on the podium. Did you see those shots?
I can relate.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, I won't go after him for that. I just can't anymore.
What's most frustrating for me about last night's debate is I'm used to Trump getting up on stage and telling lies, and I'm used to him obfuscating and just omitting shit. I was not prepared for how much of his debate came out of weird right-wing talking points about Hunter Biden, because honestly, it's a non-story which I didn't follow. And I think if you were not plugged into a certain right-wing media sphere, you didn't even catch the references he was dropping.
I think for your average person who was watching it, they were probably like, "What the fuck is he talking about?" Like, it just seemed like bizarre, non-connected things he was saying. And also, the Hunter Biden story isn't real. It's not real. They are trying so hard. It's like, stop trying to make fetch work. It's not going to work. Or fetch a thing. Fuck.
I think it's make fetch happen.
I fucked up the code.
you can't just go around asking people why they're white.
Yeah. Anyways. Yeah, so it was so many lies. And, like, everything he said was very empty, as it always is. It's just no substance at all to what he said.
And, you know, a lot of that has to do with the framing of the debate and the moderation. I will say that the moderator last night did a very good job managing them, and the mute button helps.
Yeah, but she used it a little bit too little for my liking. There were quite a few times I was like, cut his mic. But yeah, she did a very good job.
But she didn't write the questions. And the questions lent themselves to just talking about dumb shit. There were very few questions about substantive policy. And this is the final debate. I wish we could have had more of that. But then again, who is undecided at this point other than Ken Bone?
I mean, seriously. I happened to see a clip, though, of CNN undecided voters. I just think there are people who are like, undecided voters are just like, they just want attention. How are you not decided at this point?
That's exactly it. They just want to be on TV.
Yeah, I'm really weighing the options here. I'm really thinking hard about this. If you have to think hard about this, you're an idiot. But anyways, they asked these voters who they thought won. Not one person said Trump won. I think 9 people said Biden won and 2 said it was a tie.
I think if you're a hardcore Trumper, you think you won that. He hit all the points that Trump was going to hit.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to admit, there are some things where, and we talked about this back in the primary season. We talked about how if Biden were the eventual Democratic nominee, that Trump would actually be able to run to the left of Biden on criminal justice.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of effectively did that.
He did. He did keep bringing up the crime bill, which I think, did Biden co-author it? I can't remember. He did. Yeah, so also there was a couple moments where, you know, I just know off the top of my head some facts, and I hate to say this, but Biden is, you know, he's an older man. He's foggy. He just is a little foggy.
He has butterscotch in his pocket.
Yes. As is Trump. Trump is also foggy, too. They both, like, lost their train of thought quite a few times. But I just felt like, oh, wow, if you could have pulled this statistic out, you could have hit him harder than just saying, that's not true, that's a lie. You know what I mean? Because he did have to... He did do that. Yeah, he did that a lot.
You know, my favorite Biden gaffe was the poor boys.
Oh, I loved it. I thought about trying to, like, Photoshop some sort of po' boy sandwich with a poor boy, a proud boy.
See, I didn't even make the poor boy connection.
Yeah, I was like, I don't have the skills for this, but I thought it would be a good meme if somebody could put that together. But you know, whatever.
Listeners, I'm sure the poor boys are like some ragtime quartet from Biden's youth.
Right. I do like that he said that, though. It just kind of takes away some of their power. You know?
Broke boys.
Ah, fuck boys. Yeah, so I like that. I do like that, what was the sticking point Biden stuck to that I was like, oh, he's right. Oh, fuck, I can't remember.
Oh, I'll tell you a point that I thought Biden nailed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Trump has this thing where he blames Biden for everything the Democrats have done in the last 500 years because he spent so much time in Congress.
Yeah.
And it's a strong point. It's, when I say strong, I mean it makes for good sound bites. It's fucking dumb.
Yeah.
It's reductive and facile.
Yeah, right. Yes, he did that a lot too. Oh, you were president just 3.5 years ago. But yeah. The thing is everything that Trump is trying, like, he's still running and he still says things as if he's not the president right now. And it's like, bro, you've had 3 or 4 years now to do shit and you haven't done shit.
Well, that's in all of his ads. In Joe Biden's America. And it's some shit from last Thursday.
I know. It's like a building on fire, people running and screaming. And it's like, no, bro, this is your country. Yeah, I don't know, man. I do still feel very uneasy about if Trump loses. It's going to be a long 3 months.
Oh, I think there's going to be, I mean, assuming Trump concedes his defeat.
Do you think he will, though?
You know, I don't know. I'm just saying, just working on the assumption that he concedes defeat, they're going to go scorched earth for the next couple months.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically the sort of thing that Republican legislators did in Wisconsin and North Carolina after Democrats won the state house.
Yeah, they tried to take away all their power and basically tried to make them ineffective as governors.
It's like, you know, you're getting evicted and you just start pissing in the corner.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not getting my security deposit back, so fuck it. Yeah. I don't know. I just kind of, I don't think he's going to concede defeat. Nothing shows me that he is. I don't think he can, but I do think it's interesting. You've seen the clip of him going, maybe I'll leave the country if I lose. It's like, it's called fleeing the country, bro. You're going to flee the country.
It's called exile. Yeah. You're going into exile.
Come on, bro. Yeah. I don't know if did our listeners see that Trump has a Chinese bank account, secret Chinese bank account. Did you see that?
Yeah, that was revealed in his taxes. Oh, that's the other thing. He kept just talking about how Biden gets money from China. And I'm sure this is from some sort of, like, gateway pundit, OAN talking point, but I don't read that shit, so it didn't connect with me.
Yeah, I know. He did a lot of, like, you've enriched yourself, and you've gotten very, very rich from being in Congress, and et cetera, et cetera. And I find it so crazy that one, the hypocrisy of everything he says, when it's really everything he's doing, but two, he really thinks his followers are so stupid that they don't realize that.
Well, no, they do believe that. I've seen, like, pictures on Twitter where they show Biden's house, which is the DuPont mansion, and it's like, how can you make this on 147? No, it's his.
Right now, it's not his. It used to
be. Oh, it was. He sold it, yeah.
He sold it a long, long time ago.
But he also bought that house for something like $125,000
in the '70s,
it cost. Yeah, exactly.
So, the hypocrisy of him saying your family and you have enriched yourself. It's just like such a like bold thing to say when it's really what you're doing.
That's what was so frustrating about me frustrating to me. I can be frustrating. There are lots of things that are frustrating about me.
Just ask your wife.
Yeah.
Jinx.
My wife.
Oh, that's out today. You can watch it.
Definitely watching that.
Yeah.
What's frustrating to me is that if Hunter Biden is somehow germane to the discussion, why are Jared and Ivanka not on the table?
I don't know why. This is why I don't understand why the Democrats don't pick up all of these things that he gives them and use them against him. I don't see them doing that when it's like right there. And I'm really tired of this. We're taking the high road. We're better than that. There's like, there is no high road with these people. Win. That's all you need to do is win.
Yeah, it's not just an appearance of impropriety. They are literally in the government.
Mm-hmm.
They have these nebulous positions, don't have any real rules, but that gives them all the access. And they have
power.
Not divested from any of their businesses.
And power. I mean, Jared was partially in charge of the corona response, and we've talked about this before. It wasn't just incompetence, it was malice why we are at where we are right now, because of him.
It's so sickening. Oh, so the thing that I was trying to bring up before we digressed like 5 minutes ago is the most salient point that Biden made when Trump asked why they didn't get criminal justice reform done.
Oh, yes. And he just said,
we had a Republican Congress.
Yeah, he just said that. He did a metaphorical mic drop.
Yeah, and it was just an awkward silence.
Yeah, it was.
Trump had no idea how to respond.
Yeah, he didn't know what to say.
But I want to talk about two things. with Biden and Trump's records on criminal justice.
Mm-hmm.
We'll start with the 94 Crime Act.
Mm-hmm.
The 94 Crime Act is not ever really spoken of in context of 1994.
Mm-hmm.
It was widely popular
mm-hmm.
amongst black people. Black voters. Oh, absolutely. Because people were just so desperate. I mean, for those who remember the inner cities in the 90s, they were literal fucking war zones.
Mm-hmm.
And people were just so tired. They wanted anything that would make their neighborhood safer.
Right.
And I don't think people foresaw the racist applications of the law at the time. I mean, as Joe Biden mentioned last night, it passed with 100 votes in the Senate.
Right.
So, like, you
can't
just...
It wasn't controversial then.
At all. And it is not the impetus of mass incarceration as people want it to be. Yes, it absolutely boosted the prison population. But when you consider the overwhelming majority of people in prison are in state prisons.
Mm-hmm.
They are in local facilities awaiting trial.
Mm-hmm.
It only really increased federal sentencing. No, it did add money to states for prisons.
Right.
And if you give states prisons, people are going to find a way to fill them.
Yeah, profit.
Yeah, but the 94 crime bill did not actually change the laws that incarcerate people.
Okay.
On the state and local level.
Right.
And then when you talk about Trump's biggest accomplishment, the First Step Act, it should be noted, like, the Congressional Black Conference opposed the First Step Act.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
Yeah. The First Step Act was passed because it was Jared's pet project.
Right.
And it was Jared's pet project because Jared's dad's a felon.
Right. Go ahead.
Yeah, and that was the impetus behind pushing that. Now, it has shown that...
Wait, explain what the First Step Act is for our listeners.
It basically rolls back a lot of those federal minimums
mm-hmm.
for drug sentencings and allows the government to commute the sentences.
Mm-hmm. Does it give the judge more, like, leeway in sentencing? That they don't have to do, like, mandated
getting
minimums.
Rid of the minimums.
Yeah.
Exactly. But one of the things that black Democrats said is that if you give judges more discretion,
mm-hmm.
they're going to give that discretion, use that discretion with white defendants.
Right. And did that happen? Is that happening?
We have not seen it yet, but in states and cities where they've where bail is no longer mandatory and they're giving judges more discretion on bail, we're seeing that white people are getting less bail.
I mean, how is it? All the laws always somehow help white people and hurt black people.
Mm-hmm. And again, the First Step Act only applies to federal convictions. And I actually did some research. Do you know what percentage of America's inmates are in federal facilities?
No.
6. So 94% of our prison population is not at all affected.
Wow.
By the First Step Act.
So it doesn't even help 94% of the people in prison or jail.
Yeah, it's not that comprehensive. And one of the things that the CBC, the Congressional Black Congress, wanted was to remove the restriction for people with drug convictions for getting federal student aid. Because what good is being freed if you can't find meaningful work? Those people, they're going to have higher rates of recidivism. And they're like, nope, we're not doing that shit. And the truth is, most black people who are serving Fed time are serving Fed drug time. Like, we're not doing wire fraud and all that shit.
Oh,
all
no, white collar crimes, I feel like, barely get prosecuted. I feel like you have to really, really do some bad shit to get prosecuted for a white collar crime.
Yeah, Jacob Wall's still walking the streets.
I mean, yes. I mean, how many times has they been told stop doing this shit?
I think he's got some charges now.
Yeah, but what's going to happen? What do you think is really going to happen?
Yeah, nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. Let's be honest.
Oh, so the other big thing that Trump was pushing Biden on was who built the cages.
Yeah.
Again, we need context here.
Right.
Obama absolutely built the cages.
Right.
The Obama administration was pretty bad on immigration.
Yeah, they deported more people than any administration had up until then.
But Here's the big but. The Democrats don't want to seem soft on immigration because it doesn't play well, so they don't clarify that Obama's record on deportations is not nearly as bad as it sounds.
Okay, so tell me.
In the last year of the Bush administration,
mm-hmm.
we changed the law that defined what a deportation was.
Okay.
Before 2008,
mm-hmm.
deportations were when we took people, immigrants who were living in the United States, and expelled them from the country.
Right.
If we caught people in and around the border, we would literally just turn them back.
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't ID them, wouldn't fingerprint them, there would be no record.
Right.
After 2008, all those people who were captured at or near the border got processed and count as deportations. The actual number of people who were living in the United States, immigrants living in the United States who were removed from the country,
mm-hmm.
dropped 42% under Obama.
Okay, so it wasn't actually people who were deported. It's just they did change the definition of being deported. And if you are deported, you cannot come back to the country. Correct?
Yes. So yes, the Obama administration deported more people than any administration in history, but it's a technicality. When you talk about people who are actually ripped from their homes and their communities,
right,
and sent out of the country, that number dropped by 42%. But the Democrats never push back on that because they don't want to play into the Republicans' arms of them being soft on immigration.
They're so scared of the Republicans. It's interesting. I'm going to tell a little personal story. I probably shouldn't tell the story. And I might have to cut this if you think I should.
I'm all in on this. This is juicy.
You tell me if I should cut this. My dad is an immigrant, and he came to this country, and he didn't want to leave when his, I guess, visa was up. So he convinced one of his lady friends to marry him so he could stay in the country, except INS. Interviewed him and they realized it was a sham wedding, sham marriage. And so my dad, they were going to deport him. And he was like, no, don't deport me. I'm just going to leave. Don't deport me. I'm going to leave. So he left. And because he did that, he was able to actually marry my mom, who he's actually in love with at the time. So, yeah, if my dad had been deported, I wouldn't be here. That's basically my story. Do you think I feel like I shouldn't say it.
You know, no, because he got legal. He did the right thing. He left. I would say we can run that. Yeah. Oh, so now the cages.
Mm-hmm.
The Obama administration built the cages. What they did not mention was the original intended use of the cages.
It was only like a certain amount of days before they had to be released, I think.
Yeah, they were getting so many people coming in that they literally could not house all of the immigrants pre-processing. So they bought that giant warehouse in McAllen, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And then they wanted to separate single men from children and women just for the safety. And they wanted to be able to see everyone,
mm-hmm.
which is why they went with the chain link
mm-hmm.
fences. Now, these are still putting people in cages.
For sure.
But they were not holding people for longer than 72 hours.
Right.
They were not, I mean, it's fucked up sort of in processing, but it was not like holding children in cages for 6 months at a
right.
time. Because that's just what we
and
do.
And they also didn't separate children from their parents. As far as I know.
I'm sort of fuzzy on family separation. I think there is a small history of Obama and family separation, but I don't have enough details.
Yeah, I don't either, from what I understand. But we do know that at this point, the Trump administration cannot find, I think, 545 children's parents because they deported them and they don't know where they are. I mean, that's cruel. That is heartbreaking and it's infuriating. And that alone should make you not vote for him. That one fact that they took children as young as like 8 or 9 months old.
These are children who might not even recognize their parents if they saw them again.
The damage that they have done, I mean, you don't have to be a parent to understand how horrible this is. It's just disgusting. I can't have a conversation with anybody who's a Trump supporter that supports this. It's just gross. You are not pro-life or anything.
And Trump did his best trying to justify why and how that happened, mostly through deflection. But then at the end, he was finally like, good.
Yeah, I thought he said that. I was like, under his breath, he was like, good.
Yeah, they're like 540 children are without their families. Good. He literally said that on a mic in front of a camera.
And I don't think very many people picked up on that or even said anything about it. It didn't feel like. I don't know.
I think it's so shocking that you had to that people convinced themselves that he didn't say that.
Okay. I mean, okay.
These are not good people,
they're
guys.
They're not good people. You are not a good person if you'd vote for Trump. I know a lot of people have family members who are going to vote for Trump, and I don't know. You got to come to terms with it within yourself that this is not a good person.
Yeah, not Trump, but your auntie.
Yeah, your uncle, your grandfather, your dad, your mom. Not a good person.
No, at all. And it's difficult to reconcile that the person who has been kind and polite to you can be so callous about the lives of so many other people.
Yeah. I mean, I think I've talked about this, but I struggled with this with somebody in my family circle. And I just cannot pretend like you're a good person. I cannot pretend like you're... I'm not going to be chummy with you. I'm not going to... We're not going to be pals anymore. I'm not going to text you and ask how you're good. I don't care about you anymore, dude. I thought this person, genuinely liked this person. And now I go, you are morally corrupt. That's where I've come to. And I don't want to make space for somebody who is morally corrupt in my life.
No, and I've come up with a business idea.
Yes.
I can't launch it this year because of COVID.
Okay.
But there are lots of lonely people who don't have good relationships with their families, who can't go home for Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. I would like to pair those people up with white people who can't speak truth to their family and just have them go home.
Ah, shit. Have them.
And argue with their families for them at Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah, there's our mutual friend. I don't want to say his name, but our mutual friend, his mom is a Trump supporter, and
Is this friend a filmmaker?
Yes.
Yeah.
I've had some conversations with him where I'm just like, he doesn't talk about it with her, and I go, listen, dude, these are the hard conversations that white people have to have. And you're avoiding it. You can post all you want on Facebook about how bad all this shit is, but you don't actually have the conversations with the people in your life that support Trump. And that's the problem.
Yeah, so if you're listening to this and you have family members who support Trump, burn that bridge in that relationship.
How can you... See, here's the thing. This person that I know is not related to me by blood. So it's not that hard for me to just cut that. I think it might be really, really, really hard for somebody if it's their mom or their dad. I mean, I don't know. What do you do? How do you do that? It's really hard. Yeah. What do you think?
I think I would be able to sever that relationship.
Really? If it was your mom?
Absolutely.
You think so? How would you do that?
I think that I would just be so outspoken that she would sever the relationship.
She would have to do it. You would force her to do it. I'm not going to break up with you. You have to break up with me.
Well, no, because honestly, my goal is to browbeat you
right?
until you see the light. Right. So you'll either see the light or decide that you can't be around me.
Right. You are unbearable. We are not doing this anymore. That's what you're looking for.
Basically, yeah. I choose racism over
you. Yes, I mean, that's really what you're saying. I just go, white people, you gotta, have some courage. I don't know. It's just very,
I mean, I've been around white people, and I've observed them from afar, and I see them doing shit like climbing mountains and jumping out of planes. I know about white bravery.
Okay. My husband used to climb mountains, yeah. That shit's scary. I went to a climbing gym. That's just scary.
What the fuck is up there?
Up there? I mean, a beautiful view. I don't know that you can't get to otherwise.
I have Google Earth.
Okay, not the same. Not the same. Do we want to say anything else about the debates? Because, I mean...
Thank God they're over.
Yeah, I mean, if we didn't have this show, I would not have watched it. Because, like, I already voted this week. I've been text banking for Biden. I mean, I don't need to watch Trump.
I voted like a month ago.
Yeah, so.
We do this for you. For you, for the streets.
For you, so you don't have to. The streets specifically.
So, do you have an asshole of the week?
Isn't it Rudy Giuliani?
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Remember we had that running bit where it was him every week for like 6 shows?
I think we went like 10 shows of Rudy Giuliani being an asshole of the week. We had to retire.
We did. We're
that.
Like, all right, this bit's not funny anymore.
Guess who's back?
Guess who's back? Back again.
So apparently, Rudy Giuliani was duped by Sacha Baron Cohen.
Can't wait to see it.
Like, when I first saw the trailer for the new Borat movie, my first inclination was like, who is being fooled by Borat? Like, how can you fool someone in 2019, 2020?
How is anyone at this point? But maybe it's just been so long, people have forgotten. I mean, I don't know how. People still do My Wife. They still do that. So
I did it today.
You just did it at the beginning of the show. Yeah, he got fooled.
Yeah. Borat... subsequent movie film is now streaming on Amazon Prime. I have not watched it yet, but I'll probably watch it tonight.
I did hear that the scene is actually not as scandalous as it's been pitched as, but it's still a good scene. But apparently, Giuliani, should we spoil it? I mean, how have you not heard about this yet? It's on Twitter the last 2 days.
All right, so we're going to talk about a scene we have not actually viewed. So if you consider that a spoiler, just skip ahead, like, I don't know.
Till the end where we argue over Kevin MacLeod's last name.
Yeah, so there's apparently a scene where Rudy Giuliani is taken into a hotel room with a young woman, and he's laying on his back, and he's got his hand in his pants. And Borat bursts into the room and says, no, she's too old for you. She's 15.
Yeah. Yes. And he's trying to say that he was tucking in his shirt. I don't know why you need to lay down to tuck in your shirt. That's weird.
I don't know why his hands were all the way down his pants. I mean, the film is out. Like, people have seen the film.
Yeah.
I don't think that you would take a still out of context when you know the rest of the world is going to be able to see it three days later.
Yeah, so he's the asshole of the week. Welcome back, Giuliani.
We miss you, you piece of shit.
All right. As always, follow us on all the things.
And our theme music, Too Cool, is composed by the
Kevin MacLeod. We added him on Twitter, and he completely ignored us.
That's okay. We still love you, Kevin, but it's MacLeod.
We do. It's not. It's MacLeod. He probably didn't ignore the podcast that uses his music that's a legit podcast with the sponsors and everything. And they probably reached out to him and said, how do you pronounce your name? And he told them MacLeod. Just saying.
Yeah, no.
All right.
It's out there. You can Google these things. Family, listen, streets, Google it. M-C-L-E-O-D.
MacLeod. Cloud would be C-L-O-U-D.
Maybe if you were not Scottish.
Okay, I don't know. Things. All right, guys. Until next time, we won't skip a show again, even though we already said that we wouldn't do that, and then we did that. We're not going to do that again. And also, happy anniversary to us.
Happy anniversary, Amanda.